All right, we're going to leave these up as props so that you don't forget. Ki te ingoa o te mātua, o te tama, o te wairua tapu. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus illustrates his final instruction with this story about two people building their houses. And as we saw, both of these people encountered the same circumstances. They both build houses, and they both experience storms. The difference is their foundations. One is built on rock and remains stable and stands firm during the storms, while the other is built on sand and collapses with a mighty crash. The person who builds on solid rock has a house that can stand up to bad weather and will be long-lasting. But this is difficult. You have to dig laboriously into the solid rock to make foundations that will be stable and endure. And this requires persistence and effort. However, the investment is worthwhile because it brings confidence in the integrity of the house. So, given the benefits of building on good foundations, why might someone not build their house on the rock? So most people wouldn't deliberately seek to build on inferior foundations, but maybe they feel lazy and want to get a house quickly and cheaply. Maybe the waterfront is more attractive than inland, or we just want to live next to our friends by the beach. Maybe they haven't heard about sea level rise or don't think disaster can happen to them. And indeed, when life is calm, our foundations are less important. But it's when the storms that come that our foundations are tested. So Jesus' story is multifaceted, and of course he isn't just talking about houses. This story is about the consequences of building our lives on the solid foundation of God's will and Jesus' teaching. So Jesus' message is about two different types of people. Both hear Jesus' teaching. One follows and obeys, the other doesn't. So we'll come back to this main message soon. This story of the two builders was probably quite poignant and meaningful for Jesus himself. His late father had been a carpenter and had taught Jesus his own craft. As a trained carpenter, Jesus knew about building with wood. Perhaps he even mimed out the actions as he told the story. And for those listening, building on the rock was very topical. The people of Galilee, who would have been listening to the Sermon on the Mount, would have been well aware of the temple being rebuilt in Jerusalem, just a few hundred kilometers away. The temple in Jerusalem had been first built in King Solomon's reign and was completed in 957 BC to house the Ark of the Covenant. And over the centuries, it had been destroyed, rebuilt, desecrated by various peoples who invaded. And in 20 BC, Herod the Great began rebuilding the temple. At the time of Jesus' teaching, that building, the rebuilding, was ongoing. And the renovated temple was higher and larger than it had been before. And it was opulent and it was exclusive. It was faced with white stone. And there were areas where only male Jews could go and areas where only priests could go. And foreigners and women were limited to certain outdoor parts. And it was the home of the Sanhedrin, the court of Jewish law. So this house of God, the temple on Temple Mount, was declared by the Jews to be built on the rock. Later in his ministry, Jesus actually warned, as he was teaching in the temple, that it would be demolished. As Tom Wright says, in the last great sermon in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus warns that the temple itself will come crashing down because Israel as a whole had failed to respond to his message. And indeed, in 70 AD, it was destroyed by the Romans in retaliation for a Jewish rebellion. So this consequence of the nation of Israel's failure to obey mirrors Jesus' message in today's passage that's more directed at individuals and at our lives. So, as we said before, today's gospel reading comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus starts this passage by saying, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." So, as we said, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount over the last 3 months. We've looked at being salt and light, loving our enemies, at anger, being generous, not worrying, letting our yes be yes, prayer, judging others, and discerning false prophets. So now we reach Jesus' final instructions. He tells us that it's all very well to listen to his teaching, but listening must be followed by obeying. The story of the wise and foolish builders is in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels. And both are very clear that the wise builder is someone who follows and obeys what they hear Jesus teaching. And interestingly, both Gospels have an immediately preceding part that we didn't hear today. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven." And similarly in Luke 6, "So why do you call me, 'Lord, Lord,' when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock." And our Old Testament passage relates to this too. As is often the case with the Old Testament, it foreshadows the work of Jesus. Moses was reminding the Israelites in that reading about the importance of obeying God's laws and of helping younger generations to learn and obey. So which laws was he talking about? Well, if you read the surrounding text, it seems that it's primarily the Ten Commandments. So, second test for today. What are the Ten Commandments? Let's give it a go.
Okay, I get the easy bit. I'll do what I can and then you fill in the gaps. Okay. There is no other God but me. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Respect the Sabbath. Honour the Sabbath. Honour your mother and father. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, lie, covet thy neighbour's stuff. Oh yeah, idols. That's one of the first four, right? And then don't kill people. Murder, yep. Where am I at? Is that 10? Don't murder, we're at 10. Okay, there we go. Thank you.
Nikki, awesome. Great job. So, yes, some of us may be better than others, but we know the Ten Commandments. But do we actually truly follow them? Some are more challenging than others. Perhaps you have never murdered or stolen, but have you never lied? Do you fully and completely rest on a weekly Sabbath? Are you free of love of wealth or power or other idols? For me, all of these are tremendously challenging. And every week I grapple with truly keeping the Sabbath holy and a day of rest. And, in true form, Jesus in his teaching pushed the bar up several notches higher. In the Sermon on the Mount, there are the following examples that we've heard. In Matthew 5, verse 21 to 22, Jesus said, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder.' If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to just judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. And in Matthew 5, 27 to 28, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Don't know about you, but that's very, extremely, tremendously challenging to me. The good news is we don't need to do it in our own strength. With God's help, all things are possible. So to sum up, Jesus doesn't want us to just know God's law, but to strive to live it out every day. James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his letter, expands on this. He says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Alfred the Great was one of the only kings of England to be called great. Do you know why?
It's called Alfred the Great because that's where he burned the case.
He did. He was told off by a farmer's wife for burning the cakes in the grate. So there you go. Even if you're great, you can be told off. Okay, that is not the reason I was looking for, Adrian. But why was Alfred the Great great? Ah, great question. I don't know. Did you hear the pun? I don't know. That's not the reason I've read. Well, he somewhat unified Britain, and he brought peace in his land. And do you know how he did that? He actually used the biblical principles to set common law. And indeed, the law of New Zealand is based on those same godly principles. So as Christians, we should be doing all we can to avoid any further erosion of our laws and social norms that are based on godly principles, while also loving as Jesus instructed. And in our individual lives, we seek to put into practice Jesus' teaching, and that is to discern and follow God's will. So let's be the wise person who builds our lives on a foundation of knowing Jesus' teaching and obeying it. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you for the holy principles and righteous practices that you give us through your teaching. Please help each one of us as we strive to know your will and follow your teaching. We struggle with some of your commands, and so we seek your guidance and strength to obey, and your forgiveness when we don't succeed. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Lucy, would you mind asking the children to come back in? Hopefully they've finished creating towers. We're going to enter into a time of interactive prayer. So our worship team is going to play for us, but it's a chance for us to reflect on the past few weeks and just think about what it is that you need to put into action in your lives and what I need to put into action in my life. Is it forgiveness? Is it going deeper in our prayer? Is it loving those really hard to love people? Is it not being judgmental? Is it seeking God first and not worrying? Is it what your eyes are focused on? Where are your treasures? Is it about being faithful? Is it about discerning whether something's true or not, a true prophet or not? So you'll see around the church, there are six stations around the church. There's three different prayer activities. So you're going to be getting up.